What's up, you guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Checkup Podcast featuring myself, Armani Jackson, my co-host, Alex. Alex, how you doing today, man?
I'm good. I just want to welcome our favorite host, our favorite co-host of the show. He's on. He's been on so many times, he might as well be a co-host at this point. Welcome back, Kent.
No, literally. We're going to steal you from B-Square Pod, man. How you doing, bro?
Good, man. Hey, I had to bust this out for the topic that we're talking about today, man. Big Devin Booker guy. Love being on with you guys. Thank you guys for having me on again.
Mm-hmm. We love the love.
Yeah. All-star reactions, you guys, let's get right into it. Alex, what's your thoughts, man?
I'm going to go ahead and let Kent take the floor, seeing as a guest. Go ahead and go
Kent,
and get started.
Go ahead, Kent.
I don't want to go off too much, man. You guys know I'm a Lakers fan.
Call ISO, bro.
I'm a huge Devin Booker guy, and the fact that it took Anthony Davis being injured for him to be in, there's something wrong with the league to me. Like LeBron tweeted, there's nobody more disrespected in the league than Devin Booker. And that's just when LeBron says it, it's just fact. There's nobody that's more disrespected. I mean, the teams, they're fourth in the West right now. And this man has to be alternate, putting up 25, like 5-5, like shooting 50% from the field, like 40% from three, 90% from the line. How is he not? I don't know. All-star game is weird to me. That somebody like Ben Simmons gets in the East for averaging like 14 points a game, but then Booker's averaging 25 in the West and can't get in. I'm a little confused, but I'm not going to go off too much. I generally like the All-Star team. Besides, Damian Lillard should have been a starter over Luka to me. Damian's team is better, and it's Dame time. When it's Dame time, there's nobody better in the league in the clutch time, and that's the most important part of the game. But those are my few things. D-Book's got to get in without being an alternate. That's terrible. And Damian Lillard's got to be a starter. Alex, I really want to hear your thoughts on a few of those.
Well, I know that everyone's expecting me to go off on a really big ISO rant take right now on how my man's been disrespected yet again. He's been giving out another handout. You know, here, you can be a replacement all-star two times. And I really want to spaz on that, but I've been championing this Devin Booker's underappreciated take for so many years now. I'm starting to get to the point where it's like, am I the one who's not understanding? You know, is there something people else are seeing that I'm not understanding? Right. Because as upset as I was when I first saw that he was not one of the reserves, as I look at the roster, I'm like, I don't know who really should go. I mean, I personally don't think Chris Paul needs a spot. Chris Paul was this is his 11th All-Star game. He would have been fine at 10. I mean, his stats are great. His impact is really what got him there, to be real. Mm-hmm. But I feel like, you know, it would have meant more. Devin, the younger guy, carrying more of the load offensively, has been doing it. But as far as the guards that are there, I can't see him replacing any of those guards. I mean, Donovan Mitchell most definitely deserves it, having the number one team in the West, you know, with the Jazz. Mm-hmm. Paul George is he's improved. I mean, I know he said at the beginning of the year that he was back working with his trainer, that he had his MVP season. And he's back, you know, but he's doing what he does. And Paul George is looking like Paul George. I can't knock it. And I know that, you know, I'm a guy who likes to make sure that we put respect on Big Ben and respect on defense, because those two are aspects of the game that we don't really talk about a lot. They're not very glamorous. They're extremely underappreciated. And I know the easy pick would be just, well, Devin Booker should have been an all-star because of his offensive stats, and Rudy Gobert got to go because that little 13, 14 points a game is nothing. It's useless. Right. Mm-hmm. I gotta defend Rudy. If I'm being honest, I gotta defend Rudy. You have as many points as you have as you have rebounds. That's impressive. That's all-star caliber level. And then there's defense. I mean, most of the guys on this reserve list are not really known for defense. I mean, Paul George and Anthony Davis. Yeah, Dame and Donovan. Yeah. And can play defense. Then, you know, it's like they can guard somebody, but it's not like you know them for defense. Even in the actual starting lineup, Jokic can't play for a lick of defense. You know, so I think having a big that can actually play some defense, even though that's not required in the All-Star game at all, nobody wants to see it in the All-Star game. They don't care about you blocking shots. No one really wants to see that. But you have to give them props, because the only award for defense is, you know, all defensive team or DPOY. And you know, there's no other respect that's given out throughout the year. So, I mean, it just gets to show you where the NBA is at this point. And we're watching some of the greatest basketball that's ever been put on for the world to display, because you've got dudes who are averaging 25 a night and can't get on the all-star team. You know, like that's insane. Trae Young, 25. Sabonis, 25. Devin Booker, 25 points per game, and they cannot find a spot on the all-star team. Now, my complaints on the East. I think the East is more or less correct. I have one massive problem, and that is Ben Simmons. Come on, cut it out. You know that, you know, Embiid is the one that's carrying everything. These are the same Ben Simmons wishy-washy stats I see every year, where he flirts with that half-ass triple-double where he's almost there, but he's not. I mean, they do this every year, and I'm like,
oh yeah,
okay, like, I get it, your team's the number one team in the East, but Trae Young deserves that spot. Let's keep the whole stack. Man is averaging 25 and 10.
Yeah.
That's, you know, and it means more to his team. He's the number one option. Like, you're the number two. It's easier to do things when Embiid – it's easy to have a triple-double when Embiid's got 50 points in the game. I mean, what you got to do? Give him the ball and just get out the way? Like,
right.
No, I mean, I'm not trying to be super disrespectful, but, again, I'm not a super big fan of Ben Simmons. He hasn't shown me enough for me to believe, come on, all-star? Like, what's that quote that Harden said? You know, I mean, it doesn't take skill to be 7 foot and dribble and dunk and lay up.
Right.
Like, Ben Simmons is a six nine, six ten point guard running the guard. Okay. Most of the people that's guarding you are like 6'4" to 6'6". So you already have a height advantage. You don't shoot jump shots. All you do is post up. Like, all right, bro. We're not getting off of the Ben Simmons rant right now. The point is, I think Trae Young should have got that spot at the guard. Now, I feel conflicted, because I'm a big fan of Julius Randle, and he's been balling this year for New York.
Yeah, he's had a lot of impact.
He has, and he's really the reason why that team is even an 8 seed right now. He's literally the only reason. I feel conflicted, because I feel like that spot is really a toss-up between him and DeMontis Sabonis. Because Sabonis and him are averaging about the same stats. Drew is just averaging two more points per game. But there is, you know, 8 seed versus 4 seed. Obviously, one team with more help, one team with less help. This is where we get with all-star games. Like, okay, what do you value more? Do you value your team being better, which means you're on a better team, or the fact that you're a better player on a worse team? Like, I feel like that's never been clarified for fans to vote on or people to have an understanding. Everyone's is just – they're just made-up definition of who's an all-star. And I'm not really sure I understand it, because I've been championing Devin Booker to be an all-star for years, and everyone's like, his team doesn't win enough games. And here go Luka Doncic being an all-star game starter.
Bradley Beal.
I mean,
he's proving, but yeah.
And Bradley Beal's averaging 35. I get Luka Doncic.
But you got to think about it, bro. The sorry teams like that aren't providing enough impact towards the standing level of what we're talking about. Like, these guys are not winning games, but – my thing going into this is like, okay, what is it based on? Performance, wins, or are we just going off of popularity of who the player is? You know what I'm saying? Like, what do you guys think about that?
Some of it's popularity, bro.
A lot of it has to be. It's super popularity.
I'm not sure if Zion Williamson is the best player on the Pelicans team right now.
I think it's BI, in my opinion.
I looked at that list and I'm like, there's BI. There's no BI, but there's Zion.
It's star power. It's hype. They also
I don't know about that, bro.
They also want Zion in the dunk contest, because they're doing like all the
events on the same
events on the day of. They probably just want Zion because he's going to be in the dunk contest. It's not even about him being an all-star. Because if you actually want to go, you know, into it, I think Booker's probably a little more worthy of it than Zion in a few ways. Zion game's a little one-dimensional. I mean, he's played tremendous this season, but BI is probably better than him. Booker's probably better than him. But they just want him for the dunk contest. That's what I think. So some of it is because of the events that are going on that day.
It's for money.
I'm looking at the stats, bro. I don't know. I mean,
he's playing well.
I don't know. That's well. Yeah. That's I have a problem. But if you're averaging 25, yep. your rebounds could be up higher. I probably need more rebounds than yeah, 7 rebounds per game. But but 25 a game and you're shooting 62% from the field like that. That's kind of
yeah.
It's kind of tough to
deep look at 33. He's a great player. I think like players like him and Luka, I think hype is the biggest word that I would use with them. And it doesn't it does help Luka that most of his fans are gonna be from that, you know, European area, and they're allowed to go on and vote for All-Stars as well. So I mean, he's got almost the entire continent of Europe voting for him, whereas like
a whole
guy like Dame Lillard only has basically Americans voting for him. And I mean, you know, there's stars like LeBron that are just global, but like Luka's got that whole, you know, Spain and all of Eastern Europe and a lot of, you know, that Spain, France area.
He has global impact across the world. Yeah, that's ridiculously crazy. So
that's why he probably got that number one spot, is because of the fan vote. That's it for me, at least.
Who are you guys happy to see in there, though? Like Zach LaVine, guys like that. Like, are you guys like excited? I think Jaylen Brown and like Zach LaVine, I'm pretty excited like that they're in it. I've been talking about with Jaylen Brown the past couple episodes with Alex. Like, he made a big jump in his game. Potential most improved player of the year candidate, in my opinion. And then Zach LaVine, he's just been balling out too for Chicago. What you guys think about those guys?
Alex, you want to start?
Yeah. I mean, I think we've highlighted a lot about Jaylen Brown's the jump he's taken this year.
And, yeah.
You know, that's. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to see the improvement because Boston is a big name, big market. We watch a lot of the games. I was on primetime TV. Yeah. Chicago is still a big name, but hasn't had a really good team for some years, and so their games aren't as on primetime TV as Boston. But Zach LaVine has been able to score. You know, like Zach LaVine has a burner. We've known that. If you've watched any of Chicago's games last year or the year before that, you know that man will shoot, and when he's shooting and he get hot, it's over.
Right.
I definitely think that Zach LaVine hasn't reached his peak yet. I feel like
I'm with you.
You feel like he still has more?
He has more.
Yeah.
I know that for a fact.
I feel it.
Because he has the fundamentals. He has the body, he has the frame, the explosiveness. He doesn't play too risky. He keeps everything kind of sort of in control. I mean, obviously, we know he's a slam dunk, you know, contest champion and all that.
Yeah.
But he really – a lot of his offense is a lot of, you know, pull-up mid-range and three-point shots. And I think people don't pay enough attention to that part of his game. I mean, obviously, they're paying more attention now because he's first-time All-Star. And I'm glad that the fans of Chicago and people in the NBA voted for him because he definitely deserves it. He's averaging 29 points per game. My goodness. But he's shooting 51% from the field, 44% from three. I mean, it's just a shame that, you know, that the Bulls aren't that great. I mean, they're still sitting at 15 and 16, which isn't horrible. You know, that's pretty. I mean, at this point in the season, being mid below or around 500. It's kind of what most teams are, you know. They're a playoff team at this point, so it'd be really great if Zach could carry him into the playoffs and show us something.
Because I feel like they need that they need that primetime spotlight too, just so that like they can get like their confidence up a little bit more. I feel like that team's very like underappreciated. Like, yeah, they have the prospects and they have like good talent. Zach LaVine, Wendell Carter, all those guys, Dunn, all those guys. Kobe White's really good. I know Ken likes Kobe White a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I feel like they're in that phase where they're continuing to figure out like their stride. And then once they get there, they'll be able to compete even on far greater level. I feel like, too, they get hinged with a lot of injuries, too, you know, like Lauri Markkanen and his health at power forward position. So it's a big logjam out there, too. But I think they're figuring out. Ken, what you think?
Yeah, and just to go off that Bulls point for a second, I like Wendell Carter a lot too. I think he just needs to develop. They have a lot of young guys. Kobe White's still. Zach LaVine is not that old. What is Zach LaVine, like 25? I mean, he's not even
– from UCLA.
He's not even near his physical prime yet when you hit that about 27-ish. Yeah, for me, honestly, this is a little bit of underrated, and I know his name's been mentioned before, but I like seeing Julius Randle in the All-Star game. I think he's kind of – which is weird to say that because he's playing in New York, which is a huge market, but New York's been bad for so long, and they haven't had an All-Star in like 2014 or 15. Like, when's the last time the New York Knicks had a good player like this? Obviously, a little heartsick because he's not with the Lakers anymore, and if he was still with the Lakers playing like this – him and AD would be going crazy. But
Alex said we can't develop talent. Remember that.
He's right. You look at guys like Angelo Russell leaves and just gets better. You look at guys like Randall leaves, gets better. Jordan Clarkson's now averaging 20
points. Sixth man of the year candidate, literally.
After leaving the Lakers. The Lakers can't develop talent. Or at least, now that we have
– produced it up to a greater level, reaching the full potential of a player.
But for me, I love seeing LaVine. I think he deserved it last year. He was averaging like 30 last year. But the percentages that Alex mentioned, bro, he's shooting 44% from three and 30 across 30 games. It's not like it's like, like a five-game shooting streak or something like that.
Yeah, man.
44% from three.
And he's creating his own threes too. It's not him like standstill threes. He's creating his own shot. It's pretty crazy.
It's not even that many screens, bro. It's a lot of ISO. Like he knows how to get to his spots. Yeah.
Everybody calls him a dunker, but he's probably the best shooter, 3-point shooter this year. But him and Steph right now are like percentage leaders in threes. It feels like so. I think Tatum being on there is no surprise. Nikola Vucevic. Is this his second straight year making the All-Star
team? Made it last year.
Yeah. That's another guy. Underrated player.
Yeah. Very underrated.
If you put him on a contender team, I would love to actually see what he could do is my thing. But, yeah, so I'm looking forward to the All-Star game. It's going to be weird having all of, the three-point contest, dunk contest, and then the game, like, all going on around that one day.
Yeah.
It's going to be weird. That's for sure.
It's a lot in one day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty interested to see how the team layout is going to go because I know, we have the new format with the draft and stuff. It's been going on for like the past 2 to 3 years, I believe. So I'm pretty interested to see how that goes and stuff like that. And then the starters are pretty well-rounded, though, too. I feel like it's going to be a really competitive game, and they're going to follow the same format with the 24 points in the last quarter or whatever. So I believe it'll be a really good game. I'm trying to think, though, going into like the new phase of the season, we're going after the All-Star break. Like, how you guys feel about like the beginning half of the season so far, though?
I think that all things considered, the NBA has done a pretty good job of running a league and getting through 30 odd games in 30 different cities, handling the travel, handling the players. I have Shams notifications on my phone on Twitter. So every time he tweets out that zero new players have been tested positive and for the last 20 some days or whatever like that, it's just an accomplishment. I tested out today. Two new NBA players have tested positive for coronavirus out of 455 in the last week. Two out of 455. Mm-hmm. I mean, two ain't great, but out of 455, that's amazing.
That's a good pull. Yeah.
So I know I'm giving them a lot of crap for this All-Star game. We all are. I think that if they wanted to run the All-Star game and they wanted to do it properly and they wanted to do it for the fans and they wanted to do it for the sport of the game and it wasn't about money, they would have held the damn All-Star game in a city where fans aren't allowed to attend the game. Straight up.
All right.
You want the fans to view it, get everybody, make sure everybody can see it on ABC or whatever, ESPN or whatever, and you put it up there, make sure everybody can see it. But don't let nobody up in there because I guarantee you players would feel more happy, more cautious, and more safe. I'm thinking like even with the dead like that, bubble style, the trash talk you can hear. Imagine that during an All-Star game. You know what I'm saying? Players that don't like the communication, all that, the coaches. Yeah, like, those are things you don't get to hear because the All-Star game is always booming. and these are players who literally have never – well, who usually don't play together. But all things considered – I think they're doing a great job. I like the idea of teams playing, back to back in the same city, so they're not traveling as much. I think it's easier on the players, because during the regular season they travel all the time. You go from Portland to San Francisco, then you go down to Sacramento, then you're off to Oklahoma. You know what I'm saying? That travel takes a toll. And so I think it'll be very interesting to see how players are rested and prepared for the playoffs this year because it's. it's a little less travel. But I think they've done a good job, all things considered. You know, I think that the money grab of the All-Star game is, I mean, it's what you expect. I mean, it's the NBA. I mean, every league has to do some money grab at some point, whether it's during the playoffs, you know, or whatever it may be. So I support it. Adam Silver is my commissioner.
It's one. Yep. Yeah, for me, I'm with Alex on a lot of that. It's going to be weird, though, because you look at the schedule that it just dropped today.
The new one, yeah.
Second half of this season. It's weird because, like, the Wizards missed, like, 10 games early in the season, and now they're going to be playing, like, I think, like, 48 games in a span of, like, 60 days. That's – and the Clippers are going to be playing 34 games in a span of 70 days. So it's, like, it's not even close about how, like – one team has to play a ton of games and a bunch of back-to-backs, and the Clippers are just like, we're going to coast. It's weird for me just because of how you can't predict stuff with COVID and everything, but I'm with Alex on they've done a hell of a job. You look at baseball, just to get through 60 games, they had so many times where they suspended games, had to play these back-to-backs almost like every night.
Right.
The NBA has done a good job of keeping their players healthy. Even with places like, Phoenix, Utah, Denver, all allowing
Atlanta
2,000 fans. Yeah. So they've done a good job keeping their players safe. I will say the whole Kevin Durant, when he got pulled out like in the third quarter because of like a inconclusive test or something, that was ridiculous. That was a little bit of BS right there, just trying to be, you know, for the safety of our players. Well, he's been out there for an hour. If he has COVID, he's giving it to other people. But besides that one Kevin Durant, you know, dumb incident that they pulled him at, I think the NBA has done a great job getting this season up and started. Now, you can argue that the offseason was too short, especially as a Lakers fan, because it was like 70 days. But besides that, the NBA is doing, I think, the best job of any league in kind of keeping their league afloat with marketing and with just getting their season underway.
Yeah, for sure. What teams do you guys have up there right now? Like, looking back from, like, where we started, like, the beginning of the season to now, like, who do you guys have up there?
Alex, you got this one? Start.
Man, I got to go out on a limb and just talk frank. Utah's legit. I mean, I know it's mostly the same team from last year. I don't know. Utah is kind of one of those teams that always looks legit in the regular season. And then I don't know about the playoffs. But for now, for in this moment right now, the Jazz are legit, and I did not expect them to be as legit as they are, because they've got players and they've got players who play all kinds of roles and covering and move defensively and shift, and they're a good home and away team. Which is one thing that you can't, it's just a tidbit that you can say goes against the other team that's number one on the other side, which is the East, which is Philadelphia, who is a very good at home team, just like last year, and isn't very good on the road. They're below 500 on the road, but they're 13-2 at home. You know, I think that definitely needs to be addressed because they had those same problems last year. I'm not sure what that is or why that is the case. I'm glad Toronto is back kind of where I expected them to be. They had a really bad slump to start the season off, but they've picked it up, and I've been watching them. And so that's good to see. I'm surprised the Magic are sliding, but from the teams that I'm seeing right now, they're all kind of fighting for that same spot. They're all within a few games of each other. But I still expect the Magic to rise up from where they are right now, which is like the 12th spot. And to be fighting for the eighth spot come playoff time. But the West is kind of shaping up the way I expect it to be. I can see Oklahoma rising another two spots, getting over the Pelicans, maybe over Memphis. Because they won again tonight, they're finding a groove. I don't expect them to stay up there or to remain up there. They're probably going to be a 10-11 seed this year. You know, they have a lot of improvement to go. I know they're obviously rebuilding.
Going through a new phase.
I think that I'm disappointed by Denver. I know Denver can do more than what they have. I have to watch more of their games because I haven't figured out what their problem is yet. They've got Jokic who's balling. I mean, I know they have Jamal Murray. I know they have a couple guys, you know, that can play. But, you know, the record doesn't really speak. The record doesn't really show that being the seventh seed compared to what we saw from them last year. Other than that, most of this looks kind of like what we expected. The Timberwolves, I knew I wasn't expecting much from them. I didn't expect
nothing. I think none of us were at this point.
I expected a little more than that, if I'm being honest with you. They're not even looking at trade options at this point. I'm not sure what they're trying to do because their win percentage is 2.12. Like they win one of every like five games they play.
That's pathetic.
Yeah, I mean, super pathetic. You honestly look at them, you're like D'Lo, Cat, and then they added the number one overall pick this year. They re-signed Ricky Rubio, he's a good bench player. You'd think they'd be a little better than that, but I'm going to jump on just kind of what my takeaways from the season so far are. And I said this on the B-Squared podcast, which I am a co-host of. The Brooklyn Nets scare me. The Brooklyn Nets are a team that when they first got together, I was like, yeah, they can't stop anybody, and they're just going to get outscored. Well, they've won seven in a row, and most of those games without Kevin Durant, who is potentially the best player in the league when he's healthy. Obviously, I'm going to give it to LeBron still because it's LeBron James. I'm never going to bet against that man. But KD is – when he's playing and he's healthy and he doesn't look like he's that affected by that Achilles injury, I mean, who's guarding him? Nobody.
Nobody.
There is nobody. Nobody can guard him at all.
And who can guard Kyrie? Nobody. And nope. James Harden's going to give you a triple-double almost every night. If that team is healthy, I think Stephen A. Smith said this, if the Nets are healthy, like who is beating them? They're a game back one spot in the East, but I don't want to see them. If I'm Philly, I don't want to see them. If I'm Milwaukee, I don't want to see them. No. Come on, man.
They're running through Milwaukee, and they're gonna for sure run through. I think Philly can't. I don't think no one in the East can hang.
No, not offensively, bro.
No,
the Celtics maybe could if Kemba Walker turned into the Kemba Walker they expected to sign.
Oh, but he's been so like,
if he was who he was supposed to be,
yeah, if he was, maybe, yeah,
bro, right, then maybe because then they have three guys that can score the same.
Yeah, yeah,
have a fair matchup, and Celtics can play better defense. But since he want to go out there every night and put up less than 20 points a game, less than 15 points a game, and put up I don't know. What is it with the Celtics and guards, bro? What is it with them and their point guards?
It's not even development because these are vets now.
They're vets, bro. These are vets. Kyrie, Isaiah Thomas, Kemba Walker. Like, none of the last three guards they had have worked out the way they've expected them to, bro. And I'm just trying to figure out, is it Brad Stevens? Because that's the only common factor. Like, it has to be, bro. Because these are all dudes who, I mean, we all know they did Isaiah Thomas dirty. If they gave him a chance to play the next year, I'd be curious to see how that would have gone, but whatever.
Yeah,
but
I moved on. Yeah.
But Kyrie and Kemba, okay, first of all, if you didn't feel like Kyrie solved your problem and you don't think that his play style worked for you, right? Aside from all your problems with his personality and his way of expression, if you're talking about just play style, you got rid of him. You let him go, or you traded him, whatever the case may be. And then you went and signed Kemba Walker, who basically is the same player when it comes to having the ball, likes to ISO, likes to cross people up, loves to dance in the middle of the court around that mid-range area when pull up. So, and if that didn't work with the players you have that you're developing, who you drafted, why did you pick up him?
He ain't playing much defense either.
I just want to know, man, because dude, I know for a fact at that point in time, a guy like Mike Conley was available. I know that
could have been provide a way better impact.
You telling me Mike Conley, Jason Tatum, and Jaylen Brown don't run the East, bro? You see what he's helping? You see what he's helping Donovan Mitchell do right now? And they don't got nobody to score on that team. Mm-hmm. Actually, no, they have Bogdanovich. My bad.
Bogdanovich, Clarkson scoring off the bench.
But that's crazy.
Value, yeah. It's about the value of the player.
Crazy, bro.
Getting overpaid. He doesn't play any defense either. And that's the thing, bro. Is like, but you also look at the Celtics. Who's starting at 4 and 5 for them? Is it Daniel Tice? I mean, come on.
Tice is a dog, man. Don't get it disrespected.
He's a grinder, but
that combo was my brother, bro. Tice is a dog.
But he's not hanging with Embiid. He's not hanging with Sabonis.
He's not meant to hang with Embiid and Sabonis. Tice
is a dirty work can. That's how he is. He's a grinder.
Exactly. He's a dirty work, like, you know what I'm saying? Watch. In the playoffs, bro. In the playoffs, guarding, having someone like Adam Tice guard you is going to piss you off. A dude that's so temperamental and likes to flare and get texts like Embiid is about to get his ass in foul trouble when a dude like Adam Tice is guarding him in the playoffs, bro.
Yeah, Daniel Tice ain't no. He's a grinder.
I mean, Daniel Tice.
No, you're good.
They're not even in a playoff spot right now, but yeah, I don't know. The Celtics are the most confusing team in the league to me because
their roster is janky. It's a janky ass roster, bro.
But you got two guys averaging nearly 30 a night, and they're just 15 and 17. Not
even and you can't win games, bro. It's just disrespectful.
They don't finish. They when it comes to closing games, they struggle, bro. I've noticed that, like, recently watching them, even on national television, they struggle to finish games at times, bro. Like they'll be up, and they'll blow a lead, whether it be defense or miscommunication errors, or they don't know who's the closer to finish the game out, like. I think that's a major issue with them too, bro, is the fact that you got Tatum, you got Brown, and then you got Kemba Walker sometimes. But it's like, who do you trust out of those people to close the game?
Yeah, it's
easily
it's
Tatum or Brown, bro. Easy. It's not a question. They've earned that. They've earned that, bro. There should be no debate about who, when the game's on the line, who should have the ball. It's either JT or JB. And if anyone else has that ball, what are you doing? You
need to have mental lapses like that, bro, where they'll give the ball to somebody else, like stupid Marcus Smart, who just jacks up a three and doinks it off the backboard. I'm like, oh god, like, no.
Lost to Detroit and Washington two games in a row, and then they beat Denver, and then they lost to Atlanta, and then they beat Atlanta, and then they lost to New Orleans and Dallas. They're losing to bad teams. They lost to Detroit, Dallas, Atlanta, Washington, like, these are bad teams that they're losing to. So
But just look at the roster, man. Like, I mean, you got
the dudes construction, like, of the roster layout is off, bro.
You've got dudes like, okay, Tristan Thompson is giving you 23 minutes a game, right? A result, in those 23 minutes, he's giving you 7.6 points, 8.3 rebounds, and no blocks per game, nothing else, right? Okay, you got Peyton Pritchard, who started one game, has played 25 games, giving you 21 minutes per night, is giving you 7 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists.
He's a rookie, though.
That's the problem. This team has a whole bunch of youth. They have a whole bunch of youth on this team, and their veterans are useless. Jeff Teague, 17 minutes a night, 5.5 points, 1.6 rebounds, and 2 assists. How are you getting 2 assists in 17 minutes as a point guard?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right here.
Like, what are you doing? What are you doing on the court? Like, I just want it. Carson Edwards should be getting more minutes if we're going to put Jeff Teague on the court. Like, it's ridiculous. They don't have anybody on this team that can really rebound anyway. Their leading rebounder is Tristan Thompson. That's the one area. Daniel Tice's game that's useless. He can't rebound. He's a center getting 5.2 rebounds. Unacceptable. But this team needs to immediately get on the trade block immediately. The only problem is what hole do you patch first? Are you trying to patch a small hole to compete now, a big hole to compete later? Because you got two guys that can compete now, but other than that, who's ready? Marcus Smart is ready. Price is ready. Thompson's ready. Pritchard has got something. He needs to grow. Robert Williams needs to grow. Semi Ojeleye he needs to grow. Jeff Teague is kind of mid at this point in his career. Carson Edwards needs to grow. Grant Williams is a decent player. He doesn't need to grow at this point. He's all right. Javonte Green, Aaron Nesmith, all young dudes. Like, how did this roster get this young, man? Like, I don't understand. They need to move somebody, bro. But what do you get back? Like, you don't need a forward. You don't need a guard because you got a guard. You need a bench. Who's giving up their bench? No one's giving up their bench, bro.
Yeah.
I don't know what they gotta do. All right.
And the people in the buyout market, if we get one, is going to be big. So their alleviation is not going to be off of the guard play. They're going to mainly probably look for forwards. But I don't know. Like, can you see, like, Drummond or somebody going there?
I don't know. But if I'm the Celtics, man, I'm looking for – you need a guard that can put the ball in the hole. And I'm looking at a guard that's –
that is really good.
I'm looking at a guard that's not – you know, I'm looking for a guard that's not getting a lot of PT at a situation. I'm looking at Charlotte right now. Devontae Graham proved he could hoop last year. Only problem, only reason he's not getting –
Devontae Graham, yeah. Because LaMelo, they're on him right now.
LaMelo, Malik, and Terry Rozier, all three ahead of him. So if you're the fourth guy in that spot, that's tough. That's why he's not really getting – he's not – his games where he doesn't play at all because there's three guards in the rotation ahead of him.
Yeah, it's a jam, and they're not going to give him more.
Scoop him immediately, bro. Like, that boy can put the ball in the hole, and that's all you need from a second.
And he can shoot. He shoots an effective rate from three.
Exactly, bro. And if the Celtics can do something like that, you can compete.
You know what would have helped them is to just keep Terry Rozier.
But Terry Rozier wanted money, man.
He wanted to get paid. He thought he was a lead guard, or I don't know.
Let Kemba stay in Charlotte. They literally just traded places, basically. I mean, Kemba's not doing more than Rozier is. Rozier's having a career year this year.
That is true, but yes. Kemba had a better year last year than Rozier had last year. Kemba was averaging 20, I think, straight 20 last year.
Yeah.
I don't think Rozier was averaging that last year, but he has been cooking this year, and he's proven that, you know, he's worth his contract. I just want, like, take a second and just think about it. Like, there's so many players in the NBA right now that, you know, are not the superstars and are not the all-stars, bro, but, like, can still hoop like an all-star, like a superstar occasionally.
At a high level,
yeah. It's crazy. You can just sit here and think about it. Like, we talking about, it was like Terry Rozier putting up 45 in a game. Like,
yeah,
bro. Like, Colin Sexton. I feel like at this point in the league, everybody who's on the court has had the potential to put up 45 on somebody, bro. Like,
that's true.
It's amazing. Headhunting.
Mm-hmm.
Man, Jamal Murray put up 50 and didn't shoot a free throw. Free throw, bro. Like, 21 to 27.
Yeah.
Crazy.
The league is in a really good spot, honestly, when guys can do that. The Nuggets had, like, Jokic go for 50 one night, and the next night, Jamal Murray went for 50. It was like
– it's like a 1-2 tandem with them, too. Yeah, they fought. Yeah.
Insane, bro.
A lot of good young players, honestly, and it's really exciting. And that's why I think the playoffs this year are going to be even better than last year. Like, even the bubble.
Yeah.
But the playoffs are going to be amazing this year. I'm really looking forward to – see what the Jazz do. I want to see what the Clippers have to do. That's something I forgot to mention. And I don't like talking about the Clippers, obviously. You see my Lakers stuff. I don't like talking about them, but, I mean, they're nasty again this year. PG's, when he's healthy, he's putting up like 28 a night. Kawhi's putting up like 28 a night. That team is hella good, and I could see them beating the Jazz in a 7-game series. I said on B-Squared that my bold take for this year, and I hate saying it, is that the Clippers make their first ever Western Conference final. And if they do, I'm not going to be all happy about it and be like, oh, I said this was going to happen because I don't want to see it happen.
Yeah, of course not.
I feel like it's going to happen this year. I feel like this is their year, honestly, to go far. And if they don't, they still have next year, but they're kind of in a small window with them too. So
they have to win now. Like, I think they're realizing that too. I mean, Kawhi Leonard's averaging 27 a game. Paul George is averaging 25 right now. The bench play is all over the place a little bit, but I think they know the gap that they have now. Because last year, we were kind of thinking like, okay, it's going to be them and the Lakers. And then they flopped and they lost. And it was like, oh no, like, we signed you guys to win. We didn't sign you guys to just, oh, this is your test trial and you're going to go about it next year. No, so I feel like they have a little bit more sense of urgency. Health, teams like them, the Lakers, the Nets, the Sixers, like, health is – the Bucks even too. Like, health is the most important factors for these contending teams, bro. Like, if you look at it down line, like, the Lakers, we're not struggling, but we're going through a really bad kind of patch right now just because of the impact of Anthony Davis not in the interior, bro. I mean, it's good to say, like, we have good rank when it comes to the firepower of LeBron James and the impact he put on a game. But at the same time, like, that burden is heavy on a player. Mm-hmm. I mean, Kawhi Leonard, like, he did it by himself before, kind of. I mean, but Paul George has done it by himself kind of before. But at the same time, though, like, they need to stay healthy in order to have the full chemistry that they want to have to get to the playoffs and make a deeper run. Because the thing about the Clippers last year, look at it, they didn't make any adjustments at one, for one. They didn't make any adjustments like that. And then two, it was the chemistry and rhythm of how they were playing, bro. Okay, so they were going through the season, they were coasting through, but then boom, the bubble came, and then they had that long gap where they didn't play, and then it was just like, okay, well, let's get it going and try to figure it out. And so I think that rhythm and motion of what they were going through was kind of conflicting on them too. Because, I mean, can you know, bro, I talk to you all the time about them. I'm like, bro, I don't like the Clippers, da, da, da. But at the same time, like, you got to respect the talent that they have. I'm not going to sit here and say I'm not going to sit here and say Paul George. But Paul George is actually, my personal opinion, Paul George is one of my favorite players. But at the same time, I just think that they have like a big chip on their shoulders that they're trying to win. I don't know really interior wise, Ivica Zubac and like, but besides him though, like Serge Ibaka, he was a good pickup for them in my opinion. Batum's been good, spacing the floor out for them. Lou Will's kind of that guy where it's like, what's the drastic impact that he has now? I mean, not to say he's regressed or declined, but I mean, he's only averaging 12 a game right now. So it's just a matter of what value do they seek after. I could see them potentially being on the buyout market too, trying to get another big possible. I don't know who, but I could see them trying to make a move to try to topple themselves over to that top spot. How you guys feel about with like the Lakers right now and stuff with their health issues?
Hold on. Before we go, I just want to make sure I remind every Clipper fan that y'all signed Luke Kennard at a guaranteed contract extension for $56 million guaranteed with $64 million. $56 million guaranteed, okay? And my man is out there, started 7 games, giving you 8 points per game, 2.8 rebounds, and 1.8 assists.
He's not
that's
doing 60, anything.
$64 million right there. But yeah, the Clippers built a great roster. Oh yeah.
Damn. Mm-hmm.
I was perplexed when that happened. I'm perplexed now. I don't know why they thought that Luke Kennard deserved even a lick of the money that they gave him.
Of every free agent, you pick up Luke Kennard, bro?
Like,
their free agency was – Dick, you guys are picking up Luke Kennard over any other free agent.
I'm not picking up Luke Kennard ever, bro. I'm not picking him up. There's better players than Luke Kennard, bro.
I'll sign Luke Kennard, boy.
I'll play.
Come on, man. Like, no, bro. Like, the Clippers had one of the most – Kennard, bro. They had one of the most boring off seasons ever, bro. They signed Serge Ibaka, which was flash, Nicholas Batum, which was and then they signed Luke Kennard, which was also So, I mean, they're exactly what they were last year. I wish them great success in the playoffs. Not too great. I don't want to see them in the Western Conference Finals. I don't care that they haven't been. I like the fact that the Suns have that over them, okay? Because it's not much separating. It's not much separating the bottom from the bottom, and we got that over them. When a Clipper fan tried talking to me, I said, y'all ain't been to the Western Conference Finals. Shut up.
Yeah, that's all you have to say, bro. Them teams have fought for the past years, bro. Chris Paul, DJ, Blake, bro, still have never made it. Never.
Aaron Davis, all them people that played on this team.
Aaron Davis, Eric Wesso, guys like that. Lamar, JJ Redick, Matt Barnes, Lamar, Darius Miles, D.
Andre
Miles,
Miller,
guys, bro.
Everybody, bro.
Corey Maggette. Everybody on that. We keep naming people, bro. It's that bad. Jamal, like.
I just
Paul Pierce, Bumso, like all these people were coming through, like to try to get them over the hump, and they still haven't made it.
Bum on the Clippers, bro. Paul was a straight bum on the Clippers. Oh my god! And he had the nerve to be popping it like he. Remember when Draymond was talking trash to bro?
Lame, bro. He's lame.
He said, they don't love you like Kobe.
Bro, but the thing with Paul Pierce, bro, he be saying some stuff that you just be like, he's talking about he had a better career than D Wade. What? Yeah, he said that.
Nice.
He was on ESPN or something. And I was like, what? I was like, how did you have a better career than like, D. Wade?
Stop. If I had LeBron help, I would have had 4 rings too. Shut up, bro. LeBron
don't lame, bro. Like, who says stuff like that? It's so lame, bro. I don't know, bro. I don't. I never been a Paul Pierce fan, bro. Ever since he played, bro. Ever since 08.
Ain't nobody a Paul Pierce fan. I love beating them in 2010. That was amazing. And I Alex, I love that when they got – I think they had Draymond mic'd up and he's like saying,
"My mom was talking bad."
Yeah, and it's
he sure was, bro.
Everybody was clapping for him at the arena when he stood up and like.
No, they don't lay like that, Paul.
No, no. First of all, there's no Clippers fans; like they don't exist. But second, he thought like on his last night that everybody's gonna get up and give him a standing ovation. And people are like, "Who? Paul Pierce?"
It's bad, bro.
He had one of the hardest nicknames for a dude that only had one championship, though. I'm not gonna lie. The truth, you know what I mean? You would have thought he had the more like when you in the next year, like the next generation of kids are gonna hear about the nickname The Truth and gonna think that that dude was a killer, that dude was a dog, like that dude won multiple NBA championships, and then they're gonna see who Paul Pierce was.
they only won one ring. In 08,
and wasn't even arguably the best player on the team.
And yeah, he was playing with KG and Ray Allen.
KG, Ray Allen, and Rondo. Prime Rondo.
Rondo, bro. Like, come on, man.
I just love that Rondo and Allen went and got more championships, too. So,
Yeah, and they're the ones that get bashed for it, too. That's the sad part about it. But they did what was best for their career. But it's crazy. Ken, how you feel about the Lakers right now?
Oh, man.
I know it's our team.
It's tough to talk about them objectively right now, bro. We're getting at this moment. We were talking about this before we started recording, and Alex was just flaming us. We're getting ran by the Jazz.
I know it's 76-101 right now.
We're getting absolutely dogged out by the Jazz. This will be, and this sounds bad too. This will be our fourth loss in a row, and fifth in the last six games. And we lost to Washington by 3 in OT. Miami, we lost by last game we lost by 3. The game before that we lost by 2 to Miami. Miami's decent. That we played them in the finals last year, but they're not as good as they were. We got absolutely just ran out of the building by Brooklyn. We barely beat the Timberwolves, and we lost to Denver before that. The Lakers are playing their worst basketball that I've seen since AD's been in Los Angeles. So all of last year we started the year like 24-3. We were the best team in the West. The whole year, there was never a doubt about who the best team in the West was. This year, we're third in the West right now. We've lost now 4 in a row after we lose to the Jazz tonight. And AD, when healthy, isn't even playing that well. He's averaging a 22 a night. And you know what doesn't help and nobody cares about because they just love seeing the Lakers lose? Nobody cares that Dennis Schroeder's out. Dennis Schroeder is also he's probably our third best player. He's averaging like 15-5 a night. He's a good player, and him being out kills us. And I'm going to say this. This is something I think about all the time, and I try and, like, just not make a big deal out of it to people. LeBron James is pretty old. He's playing the third most minutes in the league so far this year.
Come on, man. He wanted to cut down his minutes, man, and they still got him running this many minutes, man. People are not talking about this.
It's bad, bro.
He started the year playing, like, 31 minutes a game. He was, like, at his career low. We started the year, 21-4. 21-5, and we were totally
he's fine. Playing 35 minutes a game every night. Let's not forget that streak where he's running
three point percentage when he had those minutes, bro. When he had those minutes, he was averaging like 21 and like 10, bro. And he was shooting like 40% from the 3-point line. And they were like, "Oh my God, LeBron has never shot this much from the 3-point line ever." He's balling, and you wonder why, bro. Why? He didn't have to do it. Every LeBron team I've ever watched, he has to do everything, bro. Even this current Lakers team. I've watched games, bro. Kuz be out there, does nothing for like 5 minutes and then makes one random jump shot. That's a lame jump shot, too. That he makes that he shouldn't have took but just happens to make. And there's an eventual Caruso steal that leads to some fast break layup, and then you go another 3 minutes with nobody making a bucket besides LeBron. Like, bro, that Nets game was so infuriating to watch. I feel like I just watched the entire third quarter, and it was literally just LeBron versus the Nets. I was like, why is anybody else even running on the court? You're not stopping.
It's like when he used to play against the Warriors by himself.
It's like, bro, it's like watching him play with the Cavs, bro. I'm not gonna lie, bro. Sometimes it's like watching him play with the Cavs the last year he was there, bro. I'm not gonna lie. Their players are better.
That was a bad team,
but the way they be playing, I'm like, come on, bro. Like, do something. Like, if my, okay, number one thing, bro, Montrezl Harrell, I love you, my boy. You're a dog. You're a great player, okay? But I need, and as a fan of the NBA, not as a Laker fan, I need you to develop a mid-range jump shot, bro. I need
a solid one, too.
I need, bro, because they are disrespecting you, bro. If they pass it to you, bro, and you're in between the three-point line and the paint, bro, they are sagging off. They're sagging off because they know what you're going to do. You're going to put the ball on the ground, grab it up, and either go for a layup or try to do a little floater, bro. I need you to develop a mid-range jump shot. Just a little hop step. I need it.
Just a little
pushing. I'm not asking for much, bro. I need it, though.
They're getting blown out, man. It's ridiculous.
Our roster makeup is pretty, like, too now, though. Like, the thing about it, though, that I think about, it shouldn't take two people getting injured for us to – be down that bad. But I understand, though, it's AD. I'm not going to sit here and say it's no, like, regular reserve. But still, we have nobody off the bench that can create a genuine impact that Schroeder can't provide for you. Like, come on now. Wes Matthews, KCP, Kyle, Talen, Caruso. Like, no, I don't see these guys right now at this point making dumb, stupid impact for the game. For our games, at least, that for being a Laker fan, I see them making dumb, stupid impact without the grace of LeBron helping them out to create their own shot.
Yeah, it's that Schroeder and AD together are like 40 points. That's a lot of
easily. Points. The pick and roll is ridiculous.
Yeah,
the pick and pop is ridiculous too. When AD shoots threes,
it's tough to replace that many. I'd say once we get Schroeder back, because he's not hurt. He's just been out because of COVID protocol.
Yeah, he's on the protocol. Yeah.
Once we get him back, we'll stick with that third-ish seed in the West. We're not going to be better than the Clippers this year or the Jazz.
The Jazz has got it, I think.
Once AD comes back after the All-Star break, hopefully we can make a nice push to kind of get him back into game shape. But here's the problem. If he is really dealing with that bad of an injury like he's saying, I don't want to rush him back. I don't want him to be out a year and a half. But at the same time, how much time does LeBron have left to compete at this high of a level? He's 36. He's in year 18. We've never seen anybody play this good for this long. So I'm just wondering, like, how long can he keep putting up 25, 8, 8, and 2 steals and, you know, make three three-pointers in the game? Like, I don't know if he can continue that for another 2.
While playing point guard, too.
Right. So it's concerning to me that it's like if we don't win another one this year – LeBron's just going to kind of be on that downward, you know, decline soon, but I really hope not. I don't want the Lakers to be bad again, man. I can't deal with it.
Bro,
I think it's really just annoying that LeBron is, like, it's still not being respected. You know what I mean? Like, you just said all that. Yeah. Like, still talking about, can LeBron get it done? Are the Lakers legit? Or is it this? Is it that? Like, name another all-star that's even remotely close to LeBron in age. I'll wait. Well, I mean, Chris Paul, I guess.
Chris Paul,
Yeah, respectfully, though. Yeah,
come on. Most years, there's nobody even in his age bracket. You know, there's nobody even within 4 draft classes of him. And in this NBA, because in past NBAs, it's always been important for teams to have a good number one player. But in this current NBA, in order to be a good team, you must have a number two. And it's become more apparently clear than ever. You have to have a 2. And the better your 2 is, the better your team is. And you have the best 2 there is. I don't care who you determine is the 2, whether it's LeBron or AD. Whoever you decide is the 2, you have the best 2. It's so when one is out and it happens to be the one that's in their 20s, and then you're asking a 35, 36-year-old to carry the load for himself and him, come on, man. Come on, my guy. Come on now. Like, come on,
AC,
man. Let's be
it's
real,
that,
bro.
Yeah.
Let's be real now because, I mean, the team's a good team. Don't be wrong. I'm not trying to disrespect the Lakers. The team's a good team. Besides Marc Gasol, who is the one player y'all should have never signed, y'all should have done everything in your power to either keep JaVale McGee or Dwight Howard, one of the two.
I didn't want
to
be with us.
I understand he didn't want to be with you, but you could have kept JaVale.
We should have kept JaVale.
Mark Gasol was never the answer, and he's proven to be completely the opposite of the answer at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, y'all have a great roster. It's just you're in the West, and you don't have a two right now. And without that two, everybody's looking at you like, oh, Lakers, that's a quick dub. And we're on to the next.
Yeah, we can attack, yeah.
Because you don't have the points on the offensive side, and you're losing that massive anchor on the defensive side. That's your best defensive player. That's your most energetic defensive player.
Facts.
And now you're undersized. And the West got some bigs, man. And they'll come out. They'll get at you in the post. So, I mean, the Lakers will be just fine. We all know what happens.
Yeah.
It'll probably be the same thing. It'll be like the same thing that happened when LeBron got hurt before he had AD. And they slipped a few spots, you know, from the fourth seed to the eight. I think they'll either be at the two. They'll probably be between the two. Four and five by the time AD comes back. And even if they're at the five, it'll be like a one-game, two-game thing. I'm not expecting a big it's not that I'm not expecting a super big fall from the Lakers. I'm also just not expecting a really big climb from anyone else to come and take that spot from them. A lot of the teams that are peddling underneath the Lakers, I mean below the Lakers right now as far as the spot, you know, are fighting within themselves. You know, my team, the Suns, is two games behind the Lakers. We constantly battling every night. I mean, we just lost to Charlotte tonight by 3 points.
Yeah.
Why we lose to Charlotte, I don't know. But it's still a young team.
Y'all being wire to wire games though.
Bro, we're just not consistent at closing games at this point, man.
Yeah.
Like I'm hoping the logic and the knowledge will keep setting in as the year goes. But closing games, we don't close them, man. Like we're in games, and if we want to be a consistent top team in the West, you got to be able to close games. Which is why I'm worried that we're probably not going to stay at the fourth seed for very long, because teams that are getting healthy, you know, are coming back. They can hold those games down. But Portland is four games back. Dame's playing out his mind, but I mean, I don't really see them. And if they do pass the Lakers, they're not going to stay up there for long once AD gets back. It's way too early to panic, bro.
Yeah, we've seen that playoff series before, Portland versus LA. We saw that last year, so I ain't worried about Portland. Honestly,
yeah, damn, torched our ass, bro. I called Ken Alex, bro. I was laughing so hard, bro. I was like, yeah,
and
it's over.
It didn't matter.
Yeah, it didn't matter.
It was so funny. He was balling, but it didn't matter.
I was remember we were in the group chat with the homies, bro. We were talking about that.
Yeah,
I was like, it's fine. It's going to be over. It's like, it's going to be over next game.
Well, Armani's a big Dame fan, too. So
that's my guy. But
what was he putting up, 50 in the bubble? He was putting up 50.
I'll take. You got a hot take for me, bro? Is Dame the number one point guard in the league right now? Hot take. Give it to me.
You're asking me?
I'm asking both of you. Answer right now.
Yeah, no, I think so.
Okay.
I can't put him above a two-time MVP, three-time champion, Steph Curry. Okay. But he's two.
Okay. All right. I want to make sure that we establish that we all agree that he is okay.
A point guard above Steph as long as Steph Curry is still in his prime.
Hey, He still got it, bro. Did you see the stats putting up? His stats are basically identical to his unanimous year right now, bro. And no one's talking about him.
That's fair.
They're literally identical, bro. He's shooting like 2%. He shot 50% from the field his MVP year, his unanimous MVP year, shooting for like 48% this year. Like,
can we like
it's,
just
it's the same stats, bro?
Can we just end this question? He's the greatest shooter ever. Like,
oh, there's clearly.
No question.
There's no doubt. Not Ray Allen, not Reggie Miller. It's
Steph Curry.
It's not even a question. The amount of three pointers he will have made by the time his career is over, bro. I wonder how long that's gonna last, because he reinvented the game where everyone shoots three pointers now, mm-hmm. and I can see because Steph Curry is gonna be the new mold for the next great player. I'm telling you, he's gonna be the way Michael Jordan was for Kobe. Steph Curry is gonna be that for somebody, because you can't beat LeBron. LeBron was born, okay.
Right.
LeBron was created. You cannot be that, but you can shoot. Shoot like Steph Curry. You can dribble. You can pull over, you know, go under screens and dodge around picks and have unlimited stamina like Steph Curry, bro. And the next great player that's going to come dominate the league is going to be another Steph. It's probably going to be a bigger, more athletic Steph Curry, because that's insane. I got the stats right here from ESPN. 30, I tweeted about
30
his MVP season, 30.1 points per game, 50% from the field, 35% from three, 91% for the free throw, and 6.7 assists. This year, he's averaging 30.2 points per game, 48% from the field, 43% from the three, 94% from the free throw line, and 6.2 assists. Come on, man. That's wild, bro. That's wild. Dirty. He's not even in MVP consideration. That's not it. Like this league is stacked, bro. This league is insane.
It's stupid stacked.
Well, the fact that he has them in a playoff spot too, like they're gonna make the playoffs, in my opinion.
What did I tell you, Armani, the very first episode, bro? What did I tell you? In order for the Warriors to have a playoff spot, Curry gotta average 30.
He has to.
I listened to it. I remember that.
Come on, I'm gonna keep going back to the
beginning of the year.
He has to. And the minute he stops, bro, they're not gonna be in that playoff spot. I'm telling. If he ever goes into a slump, if he gets hurt, y'all gotta go out for 2 weeks. Chop it up.
Yeah, it's gonna chop him down. Yeah,
it's over with, bro.
The whole dependability of that team is relied upon by him, bro. It's
relied upon by Curry, and if Curry is for any reason knick-knack, ankle injury, tough. Yep.
They'll get in for sure. Yeah, because he's on a tear, man.
The West get easty, bro. I don't know. I'm not gonna lie to you. Super, I don't know. Super.
You want to wrap us up, AC?
Yeah. We'll go ahead and wrap it up. I'm not sure. Oh, we're on podcast number 9. I want to thank you guys again for checking us out, listening to us. Almost at 10. So that means we're probably about almost 3 months in of covering the NBA season. It's been a great season so far. I mean, I think this is probably by far the best league when it comes. Oh, wait. Hold on. No. I'm not wrapping it up. Okay. Kyrie Irving made an Instagram post today. Okay.
About the logo?
And we haven't talked about it. Okay. I'm assuming that everyone in here is in agreement with that post, is okay with Kobe Bryant being the new logo guy, okay? Because I mean, no disrespect to Jerry West, but Jerry West wasn't even. Yes, sir. Long live Black Mamba. Long live Kobe Bryant. Okay, you know what I'm saying? Forever Mamba for life. Mamba for life.
Yes, sir.
So I think it's dope. I'm all for it. You know, if they want to put Kobe on it. My only criticism is they use Kobe driving. I'm gonna be honest with you. I need Kobe fading away. That's Kobe, bro. I need Kobe fading away on the logo. If it's gonna be done, they got to do it right. But other than that, thank you guys who stayed for the pod. You also got to see Kent's jersey collection. Got to see us react to something we forgot to talk about. Be sure to follow Kent he doesn't have Instagram. Be sure to follow his podcast at B Squared Pod on Instagram. They're posting, they cover basketball and baseball, really good analytics side. Definitely be getting in and checking up, you know, talking about contracts and big moves. I learned a lot about baseball just by listening to the podcast. So it's definitely informational. Even if you're not a big baseball fan, even if you can't tell who the hell Lindor and Mookie Betts are because they look like the same person. Hey, you know the names, check out the pod. That's all you need to know.
I'm proud, Ali. I'm proud, bro.
I know a few players, you know. I know the big names, but definitely check out the podcast. They got some great content. They're gonna have some guests coming up, so you're definitely not gonna miss that. But from us here at the Checkup Pod, thank you for listening. Welcome to another week, and be sure to check up.